Good evening again. It's so good to be here with you tonight. We're going to look at our fourth letter in the acronym TULIP tonight. We often think of it as irresistible grace, but I like to think of it as He is the Lord God Almighty in salvation. It's effectual grace, it's victorious grace, it's efficient grace. This effectual calling is brought out a number of times in Scripture, and I'd like to turn with you tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, and verse 30. Romans, chapter 8, and verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Whom He called, them He also called, and whom He called. So we're looking at the subject of this effectual call, this irresistible grace of God, as we read here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. This subject, as we look into it, as we study it, as we find out what the Bible has to say about it, as we find out what God has to say about it, this is the belief that God is able to raise the spiritually dead sinner to life. God is able to do that. The dead sinner is incapable of resisting the power of God that raises them to spiritual life. And, in fact, after they've been raised and given life, they realize how valuable that was. There's no comment about it went against my will. We realize that our will is dead. It will not choose God. So we need outside influence. We need God Almighty to deal with that. There are two things to be considered when we look at this subject of irresistible grace or effectual call, this effectual grace of God. Number one, the caller, and number two, the called. How powerful is the caller? Well, as we look into the Scriptures, we find a number of places that He is called God Almighty. He's not called God Almost. He is called God Almighty, Lord God Almighty. And this is stressed throughout the Old Testament as well as stressed throughout the New Testament, that when we use the term God, we're talking about the Almighty God. We're not talking about a lesser God. We don't have to qualify it, but we're thankful that God often does that. He shares with us those terms, the Almighty God. Well, God, the word God by itself should share with us that He's Almighty, but God does us a great favor in repeating that. And we get to the New Testament, we often find Lord God Almighty. They all mean the same thing, but the redundancy is for us. It is on our behalf. To deny that God is not able to call effectually and then turn around and say, I jumped every time my mother called me, is absurd. We have parents call their children and we know exactly to go home, to come to the meal, or whatever. So let us look at this subject from a biblical standpoint and turn with me back in the Old Testament, first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17, and in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. This is the God that is dealing with salvation. This is the God that provided salvation. This is the God that brings salvation. This is the God that saves sinners from their sin. This is the God that raises the spiritual dead. His voice is all-powerful. By it, He created the heavens and the earth. And so, we find that this subject of looking into the caller when we talk about the effectual call. The caller has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. He is not going to be thwarted. He's not going to be changed. He's not going to be altered. He is going to be Almighty God always. In old eternity, today, and tomorrow, He is Almighty God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6, and there in verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. But this passage of Scripture shares with us that the old patriarchs, it was the God Almighty that had appeared unto them, that had blessed them, that had moved upon them. As Stephen brings out in the book of Acts, it was the God of glory that appeared unto Abram down in Ur of the Chaldees and called him out, and he came. We find the power of God to still the waters, to control the skies, to control the seas, to control the earth, and then to have the king's heart in his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will, like rivers of water, to turn it whithersoever he will. So God is God Almighty. The one that calls is the Almighty God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, as we move through many centuries and through most of the books of the Old as well as the New Testament, we read here in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, who does the calling? Now, if it's the preacher, it's not going to be effectual. If it's mom and dad, it's not going to be effectual. If it's a Sunday school teacher, it's not going to be effectual. If it's some evangelist, some radio preacher, some tract, it's not going to be effectual. Only God can make His grace effectual. He's the only one that can do what He says He will do. We cannot do that. We can't raise the dead. We can't even raise a hand of the dead. But God is able. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The word Lord means Almighty. The word God means Almighty. The word Almighty means Almighty. The Lord God Almighty, or the Almighty, Almighty, Almighty God. So we have this one raising us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's the one that calls. He's the one that calls us from the tomb of sin. He's the one that calls us from the grave of our imputed sin from Adam. So we're just thankful that we are dealing with a God Almighty, a God that is everlasting, eternal, almighty, and He does whatsoever He pleases, and none can stay His hand. Again, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, we have here in verse 17, this is who is dealing with fallen man. This is who is dealing with the lost sheep. This is the one that is dealing with His elect. This is the one that has all grace, all power. He's almighty. And here in Revelation chapter 11, verse 17, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. This is the King of Kings. This is the one who reigns in heaven and earth beneath. This is the one that moves. And it is in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the Almighty Creator. So many will avow to the fact that He created the heavens and the earth, but then stop dead in their tracks when He is the God of spiritual creation, that He is the one that moves upon us to have eternal life. He's the one that calls us out of darkness. He's the one that lifts us out of a horrible pit. He's the one that gives us sight. He's the one that gives us hearing to hear spiritual things and to see spiritual things and to be blessed. He's the one that has created life in all of His people by giving them the Holy Spirit. So He's the Lord God Almighty. Again, in the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3. We have these words. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works. Now, Moses was able to sing this song. And the song of the Lamb is this, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So it is this King, it is this Lord God Almighty that is dealing with people dead in trespasses and sin. He came down to a sin-cursed earth, and we've said this in the past, but He came to a graveyard. Those around Him were dead in trespasses and sin. They were animated by humanity, but they were spiritually dead. And He had the ability of looking upon them and seeing them for what they are in Adam, their father, fallen without help and without hope and without God in this world. And He's the one that comes and calls with an effectual call. He called Lazarus from the tomb. He called him by name and brought him up from the dead. And so it is with us. We are brought from the spiritual dead. We're dead before God spiritually. We have no spiritual life. We have no love for God. And He creates in us that wonderful love for Him. And He gives us the Holy Spirit, the new birth. And we have that as our spiritual life. And we're so thankful. Again, in the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And there in verse 7. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And verse 14 of that same chapter, For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle in that day, great day of God Almighty. There is no resisting this one. The only time it looks like that is happening is God in His covenant of grace has purposed that that take place, but we never are able to resist God Almighty. He has an ability to look upon His people and call them from their place of death in sin and bring them life and bring them up and bring them into His presence and causes us to look upon God as our spiritual life. Now, we've looked just a little bit at the caller. We have someone that has all power. We have someone that is all powerful. We have someone that is God. We have someone that is the Lord God. We have someone that is the Lord God Almighty. And He's the one that is doing the calling. This is the one that created all things from nothing. There wasn't anything to create anything from, but God made all things from nothing. He starts with not our righteousness, our self-righteousness, or our works. He leaves that out. Those are nothing. And He starts from absolute scratch when He creates life. The called, there are many descriptions of the called in the Scriptures. Those that are effectually called are called sinners, wicked, unrighteous, dead, those in slavery, rebellious, leprous, scoffers, full of iniquities, stony-hearted, evildoers, without faith, hopeless, without God, without Christ, aliens, strangers, lost, alienated from God and enemies of God. This is the description of those that are called. Now, to say that those have the power to override the call of God Almighty would be absurd. And anybody that has ever been saved by the grace of God would look back and say, "Thank you for overpowering my will." Our will to come is not able. We are unwilling and we're unable. And God Almighty is able and willing to save all those that were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, born out into time from all sorts of folks in all sorts of places, in all sorts of nationalities, in all sorts of religions. But every religion that is not of God, that is not Christian religion in Christ Jesus, is a religion of works, self-righteousness, Phariseeism, and it takes God to put us into a belief of God that He is the actual and true Savior of His people. What is the effectual calling? It is a gracious work of the Spirit, whereby He causes us to embrace Christ freely as He is declared in the gospel. The preaching of the word, which is sounding of God's silver trumpet in men's ears. God speaks or calls through His ministers as they preach the gospel. This great trumpet of God, the gospel, is blown as the preachers preach the gospel, as they preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, as they preach that He is the only one that came to die for sinners, and that everyone He died for, He will bring with Him, and He will speak to their being, their person. He will quicken them and cause them to hear Him, and they will be satisfied with Him and not go away disappointed or anything else, but will look to Him as the all-powerful God, the sovereign God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So this trumpet sound that goes out in the book of Numbers chapter 10. Would you look there with me? Numbers chapter 10. Book of Numbers chapter 10. And there in verses 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 10 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Make two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." One piece of silver. What a craftsman it was to make these silver trumpets, one piece. They were beaten out of metal that we don't create. They were beaten out in a miraculous way and became a trumpet, and this trumpet was of such value that it called the assembly. Now keep that in mind as we travel over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27, and there in verse 13. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship God in the holy mount at Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in that day," in the gospel day, when God purposes to bring His word to one of His lost sheep wherever they are in the world, somebody has come and preached the gospel, has had used the great trumpet of the gospel, "it shall be blown," and it will have results. It will accomplish everything God intended for it to accomplish. Now, to some, it is nothing more than the sound of thunder, as we find with regard to others, the sound of thunder. But to some, it is the word of life unto life. "And it shall be blown, and when it is blown, they shall come which are ready to perish all over the world." they're ready to perish in some of the worst places of the world, Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt. And what will they do? They shall worship the Lord at the holy mount at Jerusalem. They shall be brought into the presence of God. They shall be part of His assembly. They shall be part of His family. They shall be part of His saints. They shall be quickened and made alive. The gospel trumpet goes out, and by it they are called. Those who are ready to perish, there's nothing that they can do on their own. They're floundering, they're drowning, they're dying, they're dead, and they can't do anything. And yet, the gospel trumpet is blown, and those that are ready, they shall come. They're drawn. They're brought to His presence. What a wonderful message it is that we have a God that is absolutely successful. He is the Lord God Almighty in salvation, and He has never, ever lost a battle. He's never lost a battle with anyone, any army, anything. He's never lost a battle against Satan or his imps. He's never lost a battle against a man. He's never lost a battle against a king. He's never lost a battle. And here we have Him never losing one of His own. What are the identity marks that are associated with the effectual call? Well, one of the things that comes to my mind, it is a powerful call. God puts forth infinite power in calling home a sinner to Himself, to God. It is infinite power that God exercises. It is power beyond our imagination. He uses His arm of salvation. He is so almighty and all-powerful. We use feeble words to try to describe Him. God leaves us the message in the Scriptures as the Lord God Almighty, and His voice is with clarity and with certainty, and it accomplishes His purpose. As the word goes out, it will accomplish that whereinto it was sent, and those in Assyria, far off lands in sin and degradation, those who are in Egypt, those in every part of the world, when God brings His word, He will call them, and He will always bring them to the same place. He will always bring them to Christ. He will bring them to the Savior. In the book of Isaiah again, Isaiah chapter 63, in Isaiah chapter 63, and there in verse 5, Isaiah 63 and verse 5, and I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Now it tells us in the Psalms twice, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did seek after Him. And His commentary on that very subject was, no one was looking out. No one was seeking after Him. So we have the Almighty God revealed and brings out through the preaching of the gospel. The voice goes out, the trumpet sound is made, and He will call them He called. That's what we read there in the book of Romans, chapter 9. Them He called. He will call them. And what happens? They will come. And they will come to Christ, and they will come to, as it tells us there in the book of Isaiah, come to Jerusalem. Well, that's where the holy temple is, and Christ is our temple. That's where the light was. He is the light. That's where the tabernacle is, and He's the tabernacle. He's the altar. He's the Lamb. He is all and in all. His own arm brings salvation. In the book of Ephesians, way over in the New Testament, book of Ephesians, and there in chapter 1 and verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? We have the Almighty God using the greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. He has a purpose. He knows where He will exercise His great power, and that will be in the lives of every one of His lost sheep whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whose names were graven on the palms of His hand, those He went to the cross for. But He will not leave it up to them. He will call them, and He will call them effectually, and He will call them graciously. And the Word tells us that when He calls, they will come. He called Matthew at the receipt of custom, and he followed him. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, let's go back to the Old Testament again. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and there in verse 23, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. He does not leave them on the dung heap. He calls them. He brings them. He saves them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. And I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I'll be their God. This is a wonderful thing. It is a powerful call that goes forth. Now, to many, they never hear it. It's not important. They have more important things to do. That's to follow their religious intuition, whatever. Do what their parents did, or the grandparents did, or the great-grandparents did, or do nothing, and say, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works, and then God, I hope He deals with me according to that. Well, we find that God doesn't work that way. He doesn't look at our righteousness. He doesn't look at our works. He doesn't look at our good deeds. He looks at the work of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the blood of Christ. And there we find that once that takes place, the call is given in time, wherever, out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation. He calls them out of darkness. Now, number two, what kind of call is this? It's a high calling. It's to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That is a marvelous thing that God would implant us. It's such a high calling that the just shall live by faith, not by sight. We've never seen a physical form of the Lord Jesus, but this call has been so great, and we've been brought to Him and brought to His, and there's no doubt in our minds about the Lord Jesus, even though our eyes of sight have not seen Him, but our eyes of faith have. He has given us the faith to trust God. The just shall live by faith. The justified will live by faith. In I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We hold communion with God. He is the one. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 14, it brings out the just shall live by faith. That's what happened in the Old Testament. That's what we read in Romans chapter 1, Galatians chapter 3, and Hebrews chapter 10. The just shall live by faith. It is the justified ones live by faith. They live by the faith of God. If we live by the law, that's not having faith. 1 John, would you read with me 1 John? Book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This high calling, the call of God, permits us to hold communion with Almighty God. We can speak to Him freely, to come boldly before His throne of grace, to pour out our hearts before Him, knowing that He ever cares for His people. He has called them out of darkness to His marvelous light. This is a calling is a high privilege. It's to justification. He's called us to justification, to adoption. He's called us to be kings and priests. He's called us to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is such a high calling. It doesn't leave us in a lower state or a low state, but it's a high calling to be the heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be kings and priests of Him, to be adopted into His family. Isn't it marvelous that He would take us out of the family that we were born into, the family of Adam, the family of desperateness, the family of death, and adopt us into His family, that we would now have our name, the Lord, our righteousness? That's His name. And the church's name is the same as it brings out in the book of Jeremiah. And to have this justification before God, to be before Him legally clean, free of sin, and to be given the life of Jesus Christ. And this call, lastly, is an immutable call. Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. It's an immutable call. It's not going to change. We're thankful that we read in the Old Testament that God does not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow or variableness of turning with God. He is the same eternal God. He is the eternal Lord God Almighty. He has never changed His mind. He didn't have some way of saving people under the Old Testament economy and then a different way under the New Testament, but He's always had people saved by the blood of the Lamb. He has redeemed us, purchased us out of this market of sin by the blood of the Lamb. Now here in the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 9, it says the gifts and calling. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're immutable. They will not change. They will not go away. God has called. It is a silver trumpet that God uses, that preachers are used to preach the gospel. And then God's Holy Spirit effectually, graciously, with promise made in the covenant of grace that I'll go and find and call all that were died for by the Lord Jesus Christ, all those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all those that Jesus Christ died for, we find the Spirit will go and effectually call them, victoriously call them by grace. It's an efficient grace. It's an effectual calling. It's an effectual grace. It's an irresistible grace. That is, it can't be held back. God is going to accomplish His purpose with it. He created the heavens and the earth without resistance. He created Adam without resistance. He created Eve without resistance. We find that our old sinful nature resists against God, but we are dead in trespasses and sin, and He is the Lord of life. He's the Lord of light. He's the Lord God Almighty. So He will accomplish His purpose. As He has promised that, I will lose none of them. So, those He predestinated, whom He predestinated, He will also call. And call them in such a manner, they will say, we will say, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. Well, God bless you until we meet next Wednesday, and may you have a good week.